The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have to start with politics, and it's a pleasure to welcome to have a political natter about a number of developments this week and over the past weekend. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Pat Kenny Show Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail. And specifically, we're going to start with the story, which was out at the weekend, that the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, has indicated she will happily go before the Dáil and address the arrest of Sinn Féin TD in Cork North Central, Thomas Gould. Mr. Gould was arrested on Friday evening over an alleged 150,000 business fraud dating from around a decade ago. In a statement on Saturday, it emerged that Sinn Féin councillor Kenneth Collins, also from North Cork, was also arrested last January in relation to the same fraud investigation. Both strongly deny the allegations. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Ivan.
What's the background to this story?
I guess it's important to say, first of all, that there are several other people who are being spoken to by Gardaí as part of this investigation. It relates to when Deputy Gould was working for a logistics company between 2014 and 2019, prior to his election as a TD for Sinn Féin. And I guess this sent a political bombshell when it emerged on Saturday, and the Irish Times were reporting it. And, you know, to have a sitting TD arrested is quite a big deal, quite of enormous significance. And I think it's of particular note that Mary Lou MacDonald and Sinn Féin are standing by their man. He's not being taken, been made to take a step back from his duties as a junior housing spokesman. I don't anticipate that it'll impact on his selection for any Oireachtas committees, if we ever get them. And Mary Lou MacDonald, as he said, has agreed to take questions in the Dáil on it, which, of course, will, I'm sure she'll also use that time to put pressure back on her political opponents in Fine Gael, who haven't answered questions in the floor of the House about Senator Martin Conway, who has since resigned from the party over instance he faced.
And what do we know about the particular allegations against Deputy Gould? Is a file being referred to the DPP? Have charges been announced? And also this 150,000. I heard different things over the weekend, that it wasn't for himself necessarily, this allegation was, that it might have been for funding allies of Sinn Féin.
About the specific point of that, I can't say, but I will say that he was arrested but released without charge, and that there has been a file is being prepared for the DPP. So I expect to see some movement around that, and I would expect Mary Lou MacDonald to, when she makes time to speak in the Dáil, to address what she knew about this, when she knew it, and I guess what Deputy Gould is accused of and the details around that.
One of the options open to any party leader is, pending a judicial or criminal process, is to suspend someone without prejudice. She hasn't gone for that option.
She hasn't, which I guess indicates from her part that she has quite a lot of faith in Deputy Gould and believes the veracity of his rejection of these claims, because, you know, should he find himself on the wrong side of this case now, it would pile on significant pressure for Mary Lou MacDonald. So she's putting a lot of faith in her Cork deputy and her belief in him that he is innocent, as he has vigorously stated.
The other thing that I find curious about this is, this allegation relates to 2014 to 2019. And of course, Deputy Gould was a member of the last Dáil. Why is this only surfacing now?
Well, look, a lot of, as I'm sure you'll be aware, a lot of fraud crimes that the Gardaí deal with take a long time to get through. So I don't think there's perhaps a surprise that cases like this take a long time to come true. And I guess we don't know when the allegations were made or how it came to light just yet.
Now, this week, I think you're one of the few political editors that's in Ireland this week, Craig. I don't know how you lost out on a trip to the US, but the Dáil is not sitting not only next week, which would be normal for a bank holiday weekend, Patrick's Day on Monday, but it's actually taking 2 weeks off. This is on top of 2 weeks previously. Just tell us where we're at now in terms of the vexed question of the speaking row. This is Michael Lowry's independence being recognised as a technical group in opposition, even though they're supporting the government. Is there any sign, this has been kicked down the can, as I understand it, till after the Dáil comes back. What's your best estimate of where that's at?
I think if I was to bet on it, and it is Cheltenham week, I would say that the government are going to force through their proposal to create an additional kind of speaking slot and use their majority at the Dáil Reform Committee to push through. And I say that because, you know, like the Dáil has been back, but really there's been very little happening, because when you don't have Dáil committees functioning, which we don't, because they can't be formed until this row is sorted. I mean, it's hampering both sides. It's hampering government and opposition. It's hampering government because they can't get new legislation through because it has to go to committee. But also it is also harming the opposition. I mean, we are being inundated with scandal after scandal about waste and excess in public bodies that the opposition want to make hay on. But we've no public accounts committee to act as a forum to do that. So, I mean, there will be a decision to be made by the opposition. Will they pull down the house again, like we saw with the delaying of the election of the Taoiseach? My instinct is that they won't, because I think while the majority of the public see that there's a bit of a stroke going on here, they're also, I think, a bit fed up with it. And if you were to say to them, okay, like, what is worse, for there to be a couple of minutes added of speaking time here for Michael Lowry and his crew, even though we think it's a bit of nonsense and a stroke, even though it won't have major impact on Dáil proceedings? Or do we want to have the functionings of parliamentary democracy up and running again? Do we want to have new legislation? Do we want to have proper scrutiny of waste and excess? Which is, of course, you know, this whole idea of scrutiny and holding the government to account is a central pillar to the opposition's claim of their resistance to this change. So I don't think that the opposition are willing to roll the dice again and simply pull down the house and do a walkout. I don't see that happening.
I'm interested in that. By the way, it's amazing who listens to the Pat Kenny Show on a 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. Mary Butler, the government chief whip, has just texted me to correct me, to say that the Dáil is actually sitting next week on Wednesday the 19th and Thursday the 20th. So I'm happy to correct that. So it's just primarily this week off. I mean, like, I've more than 20 years in the Dáil, I've seen lots of really serious rows, and this is right up there. I would have thought that unity of the opposition was a pretty powerful weapon. And, you know, there is the prospect that they could actually paralyse the Dáil by walking out. And put it like this, I think most people actually don't agree with the government on the detail of this. Now, whether it's worth the nuclear option, but they kind of feel, look, the regional independent group are like the Green TDs. They're government backbenchers. They should be given speaking rights and other rights. But to have them as a technical group in opposition, and, you know, in the British Parliament, there are no priority questions. So this is an Irish situation. But your thinking is, from what I'm picking up from you, Craig, is that the opposition, once voted down, will accept it.
Well, I just think the nuclear option is too severe. And I also think that it also doesn't serve them long term as well. And we just take the point of the Public Accounts Committee. You could have Sinn Féin, as Sinn Féin chair of the Public Accounts Committee, making hay over all of the waste that we've seen, hauling in officials from the OPW, for example. You know, you can see it there, and that what would be better for them in the opinion polls long term, to be having a row over speaking rights that, once solved, people will forget, or for them to be the face, like we saw with the RTE scandals or all the other scandals that we've seen, of the ones taking to task officials and civil servants who've made mistakes over waste, which is really the main show in town at the moment that politicians are dying to get their teeth stuck into.
Okay, I
guess the only thing finally to say on that, Ivan, would be that, you know, if the government fears that they won't back down, that they might offer them one final concession, not a full concession, but a final one, to then say, well, look, we've moved not once but twice on this, and yet you're still going to bring the house down.
Yeah, no, I can see both narratives and how it would play out. Just a couple of other things. I understand there was meetings amongst the same opposition parties, Labour, Soc Dems, Sinn Féin, People Before Profit, right across the board, about the presidency, the presidential election. This is now into March. You'd want to be getting your pony into the race really around Easter time. It costs $250,000 to run it. You don't get your expenses back unless you get 12.5% of the vote. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil not pressing too hard. I hear Bertie's definitely not standing. I hear Francis Fitzgerald is definitely not standing. And the two names that might be considered for the unity left opposition candidate are Senator Francis Black and Deputy Catherine Connolly. What would you like to add to that in terms of how you think this might emerge?
I would be very surprised if there was a unity candidate. I would be surprised. I don't think it's an impossibility. I would say I was very taken by former Sinn Féin president Gerry Adams' tweets at the weekend, saying that, you know, one, he likes Ireland's call, and two, that he likes the two Johnnies. And I couldn't think of any other way to try and placate yourself with the middle of the country and chase the kind of lowest common denominator vote there. Don't rule him out as an outside bet to emerge as a presidential candidate.
Okay, and Sinn Féin, of course, have more than 20 Oireachtas members and can definitely go their own way. But if you look at previous presidential elections, Fianna Fáil didn't contest two of them. Fine Gael didn't get their expenses back. They become two horse races. And if you split the, we'd say, non-government side, you know, there's a real chance you could blow 200,000 plus and not get your money back.
Yeah, it is a difficult decision, and I think the candidates that will contest that will be, I guess, consider themselves for the presidency has really changed under since Michael D. Higgins took up the role. I mean, if you go back to the first time Michael D. Higgins was in the race, I mean, we almost elected our own, you know, celebrity businessman, and you know, now all of a sudden the presidency has gone from that being a potential to much more of a, I mean, people really liked the poetic nature of Michael D. Higgins, the fact that he was perhaps more on the left than our government, that he was willing to speak out perhaps above his station, some might argue, on social issues like housing. And I think that's why Catherine Connolly would fit that mould. Now she would have, I think she will face tough opposition from the government side of the house. I mean, you know, you mentioned a few candidates there. I think also the likes of Mairead McGuinness would perhaps I saw it at the weekend in our sister paper, The Mail on Sunday, tipping perhaps Barry Andrews as an outside chance, or also Cinsani Murcu. So I think there'll be a healthy contest, and I guess it would be interesting to see whether the government parties agree to one candidate amongst themselves. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you will see a strong and healthy candidate contest for the presidency.
Finally, mass exodus of ministers, big focus on Wednesday, the Taoiseach on a 5-day trip to the States. After the visit, after the meeting in the Oval Office, what does success look like for Micheál Martin this week?
Well, I think he'll want to be channeling his father, his boxer father, the champ, and really dodge and weave and not get hit. I think we saw with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's bout in the Oval Office, it was all going fine, really, until he really got punched, and then he got sucker punched into this humiliating couple of minutes where it was just being rained down on him, and he wasn't willing to bend initially, and the punches just kept coming. I think Micheál Martin, there's a lot less to fear, because you saw from Donald Trump's words last week, he certainly is softening his approach when it comes to Ireland. And I think the big worry, of course, is that he brings up the trade imbalance. But I just thought it was very interesting in the declaration that he signed last week, right? Because he mentioned a trade imbalance with Europe, but he didn't mention it specifically with Ireland. And I was actually texting a cabinet minister about it, and I said, am I reading the tea leaves here? This seems like a bit of a softening towards Ireland. And they said, yeah. And they said, look, I think the amount of Irish Americans there is significant. It's a significant block. So I think Trump's affections, as we may see them, to Ireland will trump Howard Lutnick's desire to target our surplus. I think that is perhaps looking at it as a glass half full type of person. From Micheál's perspective, I think, look, there's a lot of confidence that he can take whatever's thrown at him. And that, you know, I think we all know from dealing with him on the media side of things, he doesn't really take the bait ever. No matter the situation, much to our frustration sometimes on the media side of things. So I would expect if there is any grenades thrown in there, he will have the diplomatic nous to bob and weave and escape unscathed.
All right. My thanks to Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail, for that political round-off to kick off the week and some interesting texts in relation to that. We want our government to be held accountable and the opposition to take it down if needed. Long term is 5 years. They have time to take them to task. And so Gronje in Dublin 7 says, hi, Ivan. You've hit the nail on the head. The people see the government move on speaking rights as Trumpian. These younger polcors, well, with no pleasure to be called young, think the public don't care, but they do. Opposition should walk out if government tried to push it through, says Gronje. Thank you. Now it's time for
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.